find the scripture, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We're going to revisit this again today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's not the legality. That's the fulfillment of walking with Christ. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And you will remind me that you look at all of us today, but you look at me differently. I'm a teacher of your word, and with me is strict judgment, a greater judgment, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. Let me see. It's good to see you all. We're going to revisit this again today. I think there are some things that I want to help you with. And please remember, I made a covenant a long time ago. We need to preach, you must be born again. There is no other way for you to be saved other than through Christ. But then also is teaching you how to live. How do you live this life here on earth? If you're saved, you have eternal life, but then how do you live abundantly? And that has been a covenant that I have made, and I will continue to fulfill that covenant. Galatians 22 and 23, in these two verses, captures what our life here can look like, should look like. This is possible. This is doable. You're going, oh, no, preacher, this is just a goal that I try to shoot for. No, it's not. This is a very doable part of your life. Now, I didn't say it's an easy, doable part of your life, but this is doable. This is possible. This is not some little glimmer of hope. It is absolutely possible for you to live this out. But you can't live this out by yourself. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. This comes by the Holy Spirit empowering us, teaching us what he needs to teach us about our life. So it's kingdom life. Now, I know I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to get an amen, but that's not why I'm saying this. The world needs to see this. Go ahead. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Yeah, but the world needs to see this from us. They need to see this from all of us who follow Christ. They need to see it. It's an intended life for us. These are intended reactions from us who believe. I don't want to get into a message of morality here. This is the kingdom life. Let me tell you something. Please hear what I'm saying. If you live a kingdom life, you will live a life that's above the laws of the land. Did you hear that? We're going, hey, preacher, we need to live by the laws. Fine, great. That's morality. But if you live a kingdom life, it's a higher road. It's a higher road. The other day, gosh, it amazes me what you all remember. I'm leaving Tractor Supply, okay, with a cart to my truck. Guess what I'm doing? Taking it back. This guy walks right by me. He goes, now you got to take it back. I'm going, the things you all go home with amaze me. He knew that I had said, we who are Christians take our carts back, right? And so he goes, you got to take, yes, sir, I'm going to take that cart back. I don't take it and drop it back on the porch. I take it back inside the building and put it in the line, right? It's a little extra work for me. And you, yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's just a little bitty snippet of what we do. We go the extra mile. We don't respond the way the world does. We respond the way the kingdom asks us to respond. So this is Christ and his gospel here. This is his kingdom being lived out here. So this is possible. You're going, hey, preacher, you know, man, isn't it just good if I get about half of those? It's not. That's why it's called fruit of the Spirit, not plural fruits. If the Spirit is leading your life, this will be the fruit in your life and from your life of being able to do that. We'll visit this again in just a moment. I want to give you a reminder of what life in the flesh looks like, because in Galatians 5, there is a huge comparison between the spirit and the flesh. Let's revisit 5:19 through 21. And let's revisit this for a moment. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. There is a grouping of sexual sin there. We talked about that last Sunday. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Hang on, I think he just got tired of writing. Do you think Paul got tired of writing? And then he just says, anything that looks like this, anything similar. He does add that, if it looks like that. Now, here's the part this is one of the reasons I'm revisiting this today. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before in advance. He's really saying, I've told you in advance, and then in advance. He's really saying, I've told you this stuff over and over again. Now, hang on. Remember I told you, if you don't have a picture of Jesus from the Gospels, you may have a strange picture of Jesus. And you're very capable, and so am I, of creating my own Jesus. Right? We can do that. If you don't let the Gospels give you the picture of Christ, and it, obviously it includes the New Testament as well, it includes the Old Testament as well, we let that form who he is in us, then we will come up with these little side snippets, and you're going to say, well, man, I just don't think Jesus is cruel. Like, for example, you're going to say to me, I just think it's cruel that we have a Jesus that doesn't have everybody go to heaven, that has people go to hell. Let me tell you something. One of my responsibilities as a pastor, and try to be a pastor for a moment, okay? I had a buddy this week in East Kentucky tell me, he goes, you know, being a preacher, people come at you like a biting hog. You know, isn't that funny? But have you ever had a biting sow come after you? That's not funny. Just be me for a moment. With everything going on in the culture, and God has called me to warn these people. Right? Would you say that's part of what he's called me to do as a preacher? I'm not the judge. I'm the preacher. He's the judge. But one of my responsibilities is to warn you. Look what Paul said about the Lord, about his gospel. He says, he has warned you and warned you. So you'll get a Jesus that's going, oh, wait a minute. Man, there's a Jesus that's not fair that he holds these people accountable. Hey, guys, he has warned us over and over and over. He said, I have told you in advance and in advance. Over and over again. Some people are going to get to the day of judgment, and they're going to stand before the Lord, and they believed in a historical Jesus that lived a long time ago. That will not get you into heaven. That will not. One of the problems I see today, I told you I was ready to preach, so I hope I don't bleed over into the 11 o'clock hour, but anyway, it's possible today, is we have no idea that it's sin. And if you think it is sin, you may think it's not sin. And there's none of us that are going, man, I did this against the Lord. And he has warned us. I mean, my favorite professor in seminary is Gerald Borchert, Princeton grad, twice over. I'm talking about two doctorates. He had a Juris Doctorate. He had a theological doctorate from Princeton. I mean, it's Ivy League. You understand what I'm going with. He's a brilliant man. And I'll never forget, he wrote a book, and I was under his teaching. He said, you can sum up Scripture this way. It's two things. The Word of God gives great assurance, and the Word of God gives great warning. He said, all of Scripture is assurance and warning. And man, I believed it then, but I've come to find that out to be very, very true. And you get to the point, well, man, I didn't know. God, he's warned us, gosh, over and over and over again in his word. I really want you to go home with that today. That those who practice such things Go ahead and say it so I won't say it. Will not inherit. Go ahead and say it with me. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see that? Did I say that? He said that. I've warned you over and over and over, in advance, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then you're going, oh, wait a minute, preacher. You're telling me I need to go warn people about this? If you love them, you will. If you love them, and this is something our world is not capturing. They see our warning as hate, when actually our warning is an act of love. The response of the world is you hate us, when the true reaction is we love you enough to tell you, to warn you. I think that becomes absolutely true love. Look at verse 17. Let's remember this. For the flesh desires what is against the spirit. The spirit desires what is against the flesh. They are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. Okay? Just please go back. They are opposed. Now that I've recaptured a little bit of last Sunday, let's go on. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3 is something that you need to have as you live your life with Christ. And Paul does this, and you're going to have to work it out a little bit, but it's all there. Let me read it to you. As you were dead in your trespasses and sin in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, and the spirit now working in disobedience. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires. Remember, flesh is not the covering of our bones. Flesh is fallen human nature. That's what that is. And thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. I'm going to show you, and you need this verse, so write it down. Put it in your Evernote. Put it in your phone note. Write it on the back of the person in front of you. Do something with it. Okay? Just don't write on the furniture. So these verses give us three ways the enemy works against us. Three ways. The first way is that he uses the world. And it's in the beginning of the third line, but let me go back to the second line. You previously walked according to the ways of this world. He uses the world, one way of his method of using us. Then the second is himself, his minions, his kingdom that he has. It's right next to it. According to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit, notice spirit is lowercase s, not uppercase, lowercase. The spirit now working in the disobedient or the sons of disobedience. So the second way he works is just through himself and his minions. And then the third way that he works is in verse 3. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshy desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and our thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. And here's the way he works. He works through the world. He works through himself and demons. And then he works through the flesh. Those are the three ways that you'll capture in Scripture that the enemy does his work with us. So he uses these. He uses these to go against Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now go back to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's walk through it a moment. I've discipled you in this. Let's just revisit it. What he does is he turns love into what? Thank you. He turns joy into just sadness, peace into turmoil. Right? I mean, do I have to teach you to interpret that you can go into a building and realize there's tension here? Right? You know, when we were at the middle school, do whatever you want to this story, I'll just tell it. Steve Carmichael was the principal when we were mobile, at the middle school, and Steve would come to me, and he goes, I want you to know the rent you pay us helps us make budget every year. So I was glad to hear that. But he said, I want to tell you something way bigger than that. He said, after there has been you all on the weekend, he said, through the week, there is a peace at this school. There's a peace here. Because we've invited the Holy Spirit, and evidently he didn't leave. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there are times you can sense, man, there's some unseen tension in this place, right? And man, that's why, you know, in Timothy, it says that the last days, there'll be disrespect, you know, children with parents. And you understand what I'm saying? And so the opposite of peace is turmoil. Just strife, just tension. Patience obviously is impatient. It's none of us in here, is it? How many of you already looked at your watch? Any watch lookers already? Oh, you didn't have to answer me. Got it. Kindness would be rude. Kindness would be rude. Goodness, the opposite of that as just being bad. Faith is unfaithful. And remember when we were in Micah 6:8, you know, it said love faithfulness. Love it. Just really work hard at being faithful. And the opposite of faith is unfaithful. Being unfaithful. Gentleness is just being rough. Self-control is out of control. And you just see that. What does the enemy with the world and the flesh and even his demonic forces, what does he try to do? In a real simple way, I just want you to go here. It's a simple teaching here. I just want you to flip every one of those. That's what he tries to do. He works in opposites. And he just wants to flip this with all of us. I don't believe Satan can handle touch your eternal life. There's nothing earthly that can do that. Moths can't eat it, rust can't decay it, thieves can't steal it, right? What he has reserved for you is your eternal glory. But your abundant life, he can work you over. He just doesn't want Christians living abundantly in kingdom life. And he uses the world, himself, and the flesh to literally flip these things around with us. Why does he do that? Because he's against God's kingdom, but also because he wants to establish his own. He is against the kingdom of God, but he's also working to establish his own kingdom. I go back to 1 John 5:19. I go back here because I don't know if you believe me here. I don't know if you believe Scripture here. We know that we are of God and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Why is there so much confusion? Why is there so much you're going, there's no common sense anymore? Where's the morality? We've gone from aborting a child in early days of pregnancy to just literally days before birth, and sometimes it's even the argument that I don't want it after birth. Do you see the depravity, the escalation of the depravity of that? I'm going, a lost person can look at this and go, there's something wrong with it. But it blows my mind that a Christian can look at this and go, there's nothing wrong with it. The whole world has, the enemy has caused this confusion. And just the lack of the sanctity of human life. He's just corrupted that. Please, I hope you see that. I plead for you to see that. That the whole world, what's he do? How does the enemy work? He works through the world. He works through his demonic forces. He works through the flesh is how he does that. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. It says, for our gospel is veiled. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are lost. Really, the word is perishing here. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You come to me and you go, hey, pastor, how can I pray for somebody that I know is not a believer? Pray that the veil be removed. That's how you pray. What's the enemy done? He's blinded people. It's like there's a veil over their eyes. They don't, you're saying it, but they don't get it. You're talking about the light of Christ, and they don't, it's being veiled to them. The gospel is being veiled. How do I pray? How do I pray against that? Pray that the Holy Spirit would remove the veil that is there for them. But I want you to, the word lost in verse 3 means perishing, okay? Now I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. We're on the same thing. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is God's power to us who are being saved. And leave that there, Miles. Hang on a minute. You're going to get in this world. You're going to talk to people. You're going to have conversations, and they're going to go, well, I just believe differently than you. And that sounds like you do your thing, I do mine, right? But let me rephrase that for you. For people who think that the preaching of the cross is crazy, they don't just believe differently, folks. They are perishing. You hear me? Y'all ready to leave? Or y'all want to leave early or stay late? Which one y'all want to do? See? It's not that they've got a different belief system than you. God's word says, if you've ever had anybody say, man, I think that preaching of the cross is just a bunch of junk. It's not that they have a different belief system. They're perishing. And it goes back to what I said in Corinthians with the word lost. He said they've got a veil and they don't see it. They're perishing. Let's go back to John 3:16. I've warned you again, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him, say the next line for me, please, shall not perish. If you're not in Christ, what's going to happen? They're going to perish. You can believe yourself differently all the way to hell. Yes, sir. Tyra, you're preaching me to death. I'm telling you, last month or so, you, goodness, girl, I love you, though. You know that. I know. You see what I'm saying? Because you're going to go, okay, they just believe differently. Cross your fingers. I'm telling you, he's told us. Some people are going to go to the end of their days and say, God has not warned me, when God has warned you over and over and over again. Please know that our culture today is angry. There's angst. There's tension. And they see our warning as hatred when really our warning is love. Because I want them to come to Christ. I want them abundant living and eternal living. I think if you know me, I don't really hate anybody. Those of you who know me personally, just as a person, you know that. This is not a message of hate. It is a message of love. They're perishing. The enemy doesn't want you to live out Galatians 5, 22 and 23 because he knows that this kingdom life is very attractive, is it not? I mean, when I go to Galatians 5, 22, and 23, is that not attractive? The truth of it is, I don't see any of that on Black Friday. Do you? I've been to one of them. I ain't going to another. Pardon my grammar. Man, I mean, when Gail Humpston was threatening to whip me over at TV that day at Walmart, I just had to back off. Yeah, you know, I just said, You understand? I mean, it really becomes attractive. You're going, man, I wish that's possible for those who follow Christ. It's very doable. But here comes the good news. You ready for the good news? Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. Let me read it to you. This is exciting. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love. Did you see that? Rich in mercy. Our God is rich in mercy. Holds off what you deserve. holds it back. That's our God. Because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, our Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Together with Christ Jesus, he also raised you up and seated you in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let me walk you through this. Here's the beauty. In verse 4, he says he loves us. In verse 5, it said we were dead, he made us alive. In verse 5, it said he saved us. One of the things he saves us from is from our own selves. Hallelujah. In verse 6, he raises us up. And also in verse 6, he seats us up. Now, the enemy works through the world and through his own kingdom and through our flesh. Those are three things. And I like to do country boy math. I have just read to you that God does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. And let me just, in the simplicity of my theology, God will always outdo the enemy. You hear me? Listen to what he says. He loves us. He made us alive. He saves us. He raises us up and he seats us. Logan was awesome starting off with that song today. He lifts us up. You're thinking not only when you're having a down day, he lifts you up, or when you humble yourself, he will exalt you. Those are great ways to think. But I want to tell you something. The day I was saved, when I was a little boy in Summersville, Kentucky, in the mind of God, he is letting me live out my life in this world. But he has already, in his mind, in his vision, taken me and seated me right beside him. Yes. Live like that. Yes. Don't live like the devil's got you on a leash. Live like you are sitting with the King. Yes. You're seated with him. His vision of me is not just running around down here. His vision of me is I've already seated. Do you see that? Jesus has raised us up and seated us in the heavens. Don't live like you're walking with the devil, guys. Live like you're seated with the King. You're going, seated? Man, where he sits is the place of authority. And he gives you that same authority to live out Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What a Savior, right? What an incredible gospel. What good news there is to be able to give us. Here's where I want to leave you with today. James 1, 22 and 25. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking his own face in the mirror. He looks at himself, goes away, he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. I think they should say woman there, don't you guys? Yeah. Huh? But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works. This person will be blessed in what he does, and leave that there. Who's blessed, the hearer or the doer? Oh, yo, some of you are going to say both, aren't you? Don't say both. Hearing's where it starts. Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear. How are they going to hear if they don't have a preacher? Hearing's where it starts. Doing is where you're blessed. See that? Look at the last part. This person will be blessed in what he does. Hearing, and some of us are going, man, I just need to hear a word from the Lord. Fine. Then do the word of the Lord. Some of you going, man, I got to go get my fix. Hope Church, Nineveh, wherever. Terry Cooper and I are good friends. Don't go worry about that. Just called him the other day. Terry just wants you to know I love you. That's all I'm calling you. I love you. Care about you deeply. Just, you know what I'm saying? Because preachers that have Hope Church and Nineveh, like we're enemies. We're not enemies. Terry and I have been good friends for 25 years. Here's my point. Here's my point in this. Do it. I need to hear. I need to go hear. You think hearing is living out your Christian life. Hearing is where it starts. It's where your faith begins. It's hearing. But then the kingdom life is doing. It's what I tell those who disciple people. Get into doing this. Watch what happens when you do it. You're going, hey, preacher, North America, we're closing 150 churches a week. Do you know that? East of the Mississippi. It's already escalated. 6,000 churches a year are locking their doors. You understand what I'm saying? That's reality. Tell you the truth. 6,000 a year locking their doors, not just Baptists, but all denominations. And you're going, man, why is it not working? Well, because we're not doing it. All we're coming is sitting and listening. You got to do this thing. And if you do this thing, it says the one who does it is being blessed. Amen. Do y'all receive that day? I think y'all looking at me going, what kind of church have I gone to? It's carrying it out. It's doing it. And it's where the blessing happens. Bring up our hope arrow. I'm telling you this. This is not just cool. You know I'm not cool. I'm not catchy. I'm not cultural. I'm my own person. I'm comfortable in my own skin. All right? I didn't give this to you to be cool. We didn't give this to you to brand it. We gave it to you as a very good simplicity of how to carry out the mission of Christ. And I believe if you, just as an individual, do this, you will carry out the mission of Christ, both locally, state, national, international. I really believe that with all of my heart. Have spiritual conversations. Love on people. And at the same time, warn them. Open up the scriptures and predominantly the gospels and read about who this Jesus is. Pray and listen. Eat with people. Fellowship with them. And in your fellowships, listen, when you have your little weekend gatherings, make them about Christ. Go have fun. But center it, bring it back. When you bring it back, quit popping the top so much. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't think a beer sends you to hell. I just think if you have enough of them the next morning, you think you've been there. But my point is, center your activities that you do with other folks around Christ. I promise you, if you take communion at your gathering, it'll change your gathering. Hello? You know what I'm saying? It'll change the whole focus of why you're doing what you do that weekend. Why? Because Jesus has just invited you to his table. He changes those who come to his table. I believe that deeply. I told you I was ready to preach. I really don't know why, but the arrow is get out of here and know that you're sent. Know that you're sent by him. Listen, the enemy wants to stop that. I don't mean our hope brand arrow there. I just mean he doesn't want that to occur. And I'm going with where I finished the other day, and I'll quit reminding you of the same stuff a lot, but 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And there is freedom not to do what you will or you want, but to do what he wills you to do. Living out the fruit of the Spirit becomes a beauty to that. Listen, guys, listen. I didn't give him part of my life, did you? I didn't give him part of it. I gave him all of it. And the truth of it is, it was his to begin with. I just took it over. And then I had to realize I had to give it back. We said it last Sunday. I even breathe his air. And life is short. If you don't believe it, ask the Hyatt family in Franklin, Kentucky. Ask the Cannon family. A lot of families we can ask. Life is short. I'm encouraging you. You can do this. And the only way you can do it is through the Holy Spirit empowering you. You can't do it because you're strong and you're an independent spirit and you have strong will. That's not how you do it. You do it by following Christ and letting his Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct you. That's how you do it. Let me tell you something. It's doable. You know why it's possible? All because of Jesus. He is not dead. He is alive, and he is very well. And he empowers you. in this strange culture, this confused time, he has asked us to carry this out and to live it. You know what? We can do it, but we can only do it by being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that you let him do that with you today, okay? Let me pray over you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for who you are, what you do. You're a witness to Christ and a witness for Christ. You show us where we are and where we need to be. And you even pat us on the back when you see us living in righteousness. You show us that. We thank you for that. Thank you for being our friend, our coach, the one who is alongside of us and the one who is in us. We thank you for your presence. We ask for your anointing. And Lord, we ask for your Spirit to flow over our earth. Lord, bring us through your Holy Spirit, bring us to this kingdom life and empower us in this kingdom life. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is given for you to surrender your life today. You may have never done that. Pray that you come today. There'll be people here to minister to you, with you, for you. You're a believer, we offer you to come. There's people to pray with you as well. You can bypass them. Just pray. If you feel like it's a public call for you to come, you come. We offer communion, as you know. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. Before you consume it, let's remember his sacrifice. And let's give thanks. He made us alive. He saved us. He has raised us up, and he has seated us. And I want to give him thanks for what he has done for us. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Logan's going to lead us. Counselors, find your spot. You come.